Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Silence is never an option in the face of evil, and we're going to be talking about what pastors and churches can do with regards to political activity, addressing biblical values in our culture and in our country. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbWire.com. Matt, there's been a lot of misinformation about what pastors and churches can do with regards to political activity, and certainly groups like the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and others try to intimidate pastors into silence. We certainly encourage pastors to exchange the muzzle for a megaphone, because not one church since 1934, when one of the restrictions came into the code of the IRS, and 1954, when the second restriction came into the IRS code, which we'll talk about, not one church from those dates till the present has ever lost its tax-exempt status for engaging in or addressing political issues or activity.
Well, that's right, and it's not for a lack of trying to get the IRS to come after churches, so that the Johnson Amendment, the law that presumes to try to silence pastors, they're trying to challenge that in court with the Supreme Court, and thousands of pastors have stood from the pulpit, in fact, and even endorsed candidates and so forth. And so far, the IRS, I think, understanding that the Johnson Amendment, they don't want it challenged in court. They don't want it challenged from a First Amendment standpoint, is my perspective. So not one church, a church out in New York, lost its tax-exempt letter of tax exemption for a day. But even that was immediately given back, correct?
Well, it doesn't really matter for churches. In fact, let's talk about the difference between churches and other nonprofit tax-exempt organizations. Churches, unlike any other nonprofit organization, do not need permission from the IRS to be tax-exempt. They don't need a letter. Every other nonprofit organization seeking tax exemption, where contributions are tax-deductible, needs to apply to the IRS, and the IRS reviews the application and then gives out a letter if, in fact, that organization is approved. If the IRS revokes the letter, then the organization loses its tax-exempt status, and it has to go through the process of reapplying. In other words, you're at the mercy of the IRS. But unlike other nonprofits, churches are tax-exempt from the moment of conception. So if you were to create a church today and you're organizing and you're meeting, for example, in a home, that moment is the moment of tax exemption. As long as you look and act and operate like a church, you are tax exempt without the IRS's permission. Now, you can voluntarily get your own letter if you want to, but it's more of a convenience rather than a necessity. You can show someone the letter to show that you're tax exempt, but you don't need it. So in this particular case, even though the IRS took that church's letter, it never lost its tax exempt status. There's two different areas that we need to look at. One is the lobbying area, and the other is the political intervention. And on this particular case, with the case up in New York back in the 1990s, this church in New York opposed then-Governor Bill Clinton for president. So they engaged in opposing a political candidate for elective office, which the IRS code says you cannot do. It's not that you may do some of it. You can only do a little bit of it. No, the IRS code says on that issue, you cannot endorse or oppose a candidate officially for an office in which they're running for an elected position. This church opposed then-Governor Bill Clinton for president, took out full-page ads in the USA Today and Washington Times newspaper, spent tens of thousands of dollars in doing so, asked for additional contributions so they could run additional ads. Clinton got elected. The IRS then came to the church, and instead of negotiating, the church really poked their finger in the eye of the IRS, and the IRS took their letter. But the Court of Appeals said it doesn't really matter. The church never needed a letter in the first place, and the IRS acknowledged that not one contribution would be taxable. They never lost their tax-exempt status, because whatever they did on that day when they ran the ad, which clearly crossed the line, does not carry over to the next day. Every single day is a brand new day for a church. So if they endorsed a candidate and clearly crossed the line on Monday, but didn't endorse the candidate on Tuesday because for whatever reason, they just didn't do it, or the election is over, then they come right back into tax-exempt status again, just like they are a brand new church starting from that day fresh.
So this wall of separation between church and state that we hear that's been turned on its head and turned around to mean that the church can't engage in any kind of official, you know, public forum or state activities or political activities, that's not really what was intended here. The wall of separation actually protects churches. Churches are inherently tax exempt. I've often heard it said churches are tax immune just by virtue of being a church. From a constitutional standpoint, they are tax exempt, and there are no mechanisms by which the IRS or anyone else can come in and remove that tax exemption, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, that's the worst case scenario that we saw with the church in Binghamton, New York. They actually took out lots of money in ads, and they clearly crossed the line, but even that church did not lose its tax-exempt status in an area where there's a complete prohibition on endorsing or opposing candidates for office. Now, on the other hand, there's the other side of the coin, and this was the earlier restriction that came out in 1934. The intervention in political candidates was 1954 from then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson, later President of the United States. The first restriction came out in 1934, and that says that you can't engage in lobbying beyond a certain limit. So there's basically a 5 to 15% rule. 5% of your overall activity is fine, 15% is too much. But you look at all the paid staff, all the volunteerism, and for example, if you had a church that only operated 4.5 hours a week, no paid staff, and no volunteerism, all they did was 3 hours on Sunday, hour and a half midweek, 4.5 hours of total activity in a week, again, no paid staff, and no volunteer activity outside of the 4.5 hours. What's 5% of that? The very bare minimum? 13.5 minutes. That means that that do-nothing church could expend 13.5 minutes every single Sunday on lobbying for or against a particular local, state, or national law. And if they did not do anything on one Sunday, then it's 13.5 minutes times two. If they didn't do anything for two Sundays, it's 13.5 minutes times three. So it's over your overall period of activity within a year. So there's no church that would ever get close to doing that. You could literally turn your church into a political lobbying machine. I'm not saying that you should. I'm just saying that you could. And consequently, what we need to be doing is focus on biblical principles. We must not, we cannot shy from preaching the Bible as it applies to every aspect of our lives, our cities, our counties, our state, certainly our nation. We must apply that. We must be salt and light. If we just simply confine our message to the four walls of the church and we don't impact the community around us, no matter how that might permeate our daily activities, then we're just a clanging gong and that really doesn't mean anything. We're just a building with a steeple that doesn't have any impact in the community.
Well, Matt, Liberty Council has developed some fantastic resources, two particular resources, a DVD, Take Back America, Silence is Not an Option, and the Patriot's Handbook of Political Action for Pastors and Churches. So everything we've been saying here today is available to people. They can get this information. They can get it to their pastors. What is the best way for folks to get their hands on this information so they can get it in the hands of their pastors?
Well, you can call 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776. Or go to our website, lc.org. It's very simple, lc.org. And as for the Silence is Not an Option or Pastors and Patriots information, we'll send that information to you. It's a DVD that goes over all of what I've talked about, plus much more. We also have the Patriots Handbook book that is a pocket-sized book that talks about what you can and cannot do. I encourage you to remove the muzzle and replace it with a megaphone. You know, when Pastor John Hagee, watched the DVD, Silence is Not an Option, he called me and he said that he felt like an inmate just let out of prison because everyone says what he can't do, and the DVD, Silence is Not an Option, told him what he can do. I encourage you to get the Silence is Not an Option packet. Call Liberty Counsel today, 407-875-1776, or visit lc.org. Also, I encourage you to go to lc.org and sign up for the Awakening 2016. It's going to be March 5 in Orlando. And on the 4th, we have a special Pastors Awakening Summit just for pastors. So have your pastor come on Friday, the 4th, and then you and your pastor can come on Saturday, the 5th, the Awakening 2016. Lots of speakers. Go to lc.org and click on the Awakening icon. Register today.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.